Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again, if you're a returning viewer slash listener, to the Triple Jump Podcast.
Hooray! You know, we've turned double digits this week.
Oh, happy 10th birthday to us.
Good God, that time has gone fast, hasn't it?
Well, it has, really, yeah.
This year's flown by remarkably quickly, but yeah. 10 episodes of this nonsense already.
Time flies when you're working, when you're doing work.
When you have a work schedule to stick to.
This is a video game podcast where, thank you for joining me, Ben.
Oh, you're very welcome, Peter.
Where we talk about video games on a podcast. Mm-hmm. We have various different segments and sections and features. We take questions from our patrons and we talk about hashtag what we play in apostrophe.
Yep.
And there's a big old discussion for later on in the show.
It's quite a jam-packed shedge this week. 3 pages.
Shedge. Yeah, I know. It's normally 2. Thanks for doing the pages, as usual.
Well, that's okay. I'd like to waste that paper. No recycling here, for some reason.
No.
Not that that's a fault of Cultaholic in any way. It's just that apparently the sort of... What's this called that we work in, would you say?
The sort of...
office block?
Yeah,
like there's several
complex.
Different complex. There we go. There's lots of businesses working here, and there's no recycling infrastructure,
no.
Which seems shocking, especially as we use so much paper.
Boo! Down with Newcastle. Well, not Newcastle. Well, do recycle elsewhere
Newcastle
in the city.
Good. I recycle at home.
Yeah,
you recycle at home. I'm sure you recycle
just
at home
in
as
the
well.
Industrial areas, I suppose.
What we're doing though is we're building a giant paper mache Billy Ray Walrus out of all the paper that we use. Okay. Yeah, Peter's not heard about that for the first time.
Well, no one's told me about this, but that sounds good. Yeah.
That's what we're doing. Hmm. First up, Peter, we've got a question here.
Oh, have we? Yeah, who's it from?
This is from Xavier Ramirez, which is a phenomenal name.
Might even be Javier.
Oh, it might.
Or,
well,
no, that's when it's spelled with a J.
That'd be Javier.
Javier.
Javier Ramirez.
No, it's Xavier.
Xavier says, new patron. Thank you, Xavier, for patronizing us.
Yeah.
Given the new Star Wars Jedi The Fallen Order trailer came out, what are your opinions on pre-rendered cinematic trailers for games? I've heard some express that they only want to see gameplay trailers for video games. Personally, I love seeing the initial cinematic trailer. I feel like it adds to hype. What do my boys Big Ben and Tiny Peter think? Thank you, Javier.
Well, firstly, I'm just pleased that I can talk about Star Wars on a podcast or video without it being slightly off topic or sort of crowbarred in whatever it is that we're talking about.
We can wind you up and just let you go, can't we?
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited.
Talk to us about this. Firstly, let's talk generally about the video game.
Okay, yeah.
Because it was announced during Star Wars Celebration.
Star Wars Celebration.
Along with a whole load of other stuff. Isn't that right, Peter?
Pretty much. On my birthday as well, which was a real treat.
Special birthday.
I was born on the same day, including the same year, as Daisy Ridley. So she was celebrating.
Separated
at birth. Reunited one day, I can only hope. We were both celebrating our birthdays during Star Wars Celebration, and we had all kinds of news. We won't go into the movie stuff because that's too much. But they have finally shown us some of this, what's it called? Jedi Fallen Order.
Yeah.
Which is a single-player experience. It's being published by EA. A bit scary. I mean, they're all being published by EA for the time being.
They are.
But allegedly, well, officially, there's no microtransactions, no loot boxes, and no, we won't be adding them. A single-player Star Wars story for those of you who are ready to become a Jedi, say EA Star Wars, at EA Star Wars on Twitter.
With a verified tick.
With a verified tick.
Which immediately raises concerns to me because that's... Some people could see this as them owning their past mistakes and trying to reassure people, but equally you could see that as Yeah. You know how we like to play. This one, though, you're safe.
Yeah,
this one, you're all right.
Is it them saying, yeah, we'll give you a token, we'll give you one game.
Here's one.
Where you get, and then we'll do another 3-year plan for multiplayer microtransaction games. And maybe you might have another single player game in year 4 or 5, possibly.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
It's a bit scary. But yeah, it's a single player game. It's set just after Order 66.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially between episodes 3 and 4. Mm-hmm. And you play as a Jedi who is called... He's got like a one-syllable name.
Cal.
It's here somewhere, but yes, it is Cal. There it is, Cal. Is Padawan, right. Who survived Order 66.
Yeah.
So I'm game.
Yeah, that was the sort of very, very little information that we had already after E3, I think, last year, where they just sort of thrust a microphone into Vince Zampella's face, he being the head...
Yeah.
And founder of Respawn Entertainment, who, of course, did Titanfall and recently Apex.
Mm-hmm.
And he founded that studio along with a load of ex-Infinity Ward staffers after, I think, they finished up on Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2. So a very, very talented team. They've made some excellent stuff. It does raise some questions, though, like how poor Amy Hennig and her Visceral Games ragtag title was cancelled after apparently EA wanted to change direction because they didn't see single-player games as viable, and everyone said, shut up, you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean,
that's not true.
You've got a quote here, haven't you, from that Eurogamer article.
Yeah, go for it.
Article.
They caught up with Amy Hennig just to sort of ask her, what do you make of this, then?
Yeah, well, you've included... She said, it's odd. There's so much change in this industry all the time. This is sort of referring to the fact that hers was going to be a single player, basically this sort of format, but it was cancelled. Over the course of my time at EA, we were back and forth on what the overall publishing corporation wanted. Everyone's trying to figure out what the right path is. I also think Respawn's game is the benefit of being largely developed before they were acquired. It's a protected entity, and Vince makes... They're on first name terms, apparently.
Yeah. Vincent.
Vincent. Makes very sure, because he's part of the executive team at EA, he can protect the interests of Respawn. An extra little bit that I've included here from the same article. This is Eurogamer. She's literally quoted as saying, in reference to a single-player, non-microtransaction experience, that was very clearly not an acceptable plan when we were working on Ragtag.
Yeah.
But apparently now it's fine.
Apparently it's fine. That could be
tragic.
Just because of backlash or whatever. But this seems to imply that, and also the fact that it's going to be releasing this year, implies this game has been in development for a long time, probably in tandem with Visceral Games' cancelled Ragtag title at some point. And it's all just rather strange. Although she does point out a very interesting tidbit in that Vince Zampella is apparently on the board of executives?
He's part of the executive team.
The executive team at EA. So, yeah, absolutely. He'd be looking out for his studio and his game and like, no,
you're not cancelling mine.
We're making this.
Yeah.
You want us to stay? We're making this.
So maybe that's it. Maybe like all of them would have been cancelled, but he was like, No, we're not cancelling this. And so now EA are trying to be like, oh, you know how you want a single player game? Yeah, we're doing it.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Do not, one thing I would say, don't pre-order this.
Mm-hmm.
Just headbutted my microphone. It always surprises me
always
that
doing
it's there.
It.
It's just because like the beard hairs stick out a bit.
Right.
And it's like a cat with whiskers.
I was about to say it's like a cat.
So things seem a lot closer than they actually are.
You know, if you can fit down a hole. That's
exactly.
What they're made for.
I can get through most cat flaps.
Yeah.
I don't want to brag, but most of them I've tried. So it's I wouldn't pre-order this just because EA don't need your money. Also, you owe it to yourselves to make sure that it's actually any good.
Yeah.
And finally, one thing that was sort of released or teased or leaked before the actual trailer was shown, they were handing out these badges, or if you're Americans, pins. At Star Wars Celebration for Jedi Fallen Order. And on the back, it says, available the 11th. No, hang on. It's an American date.
Or if you're available, American and you say pins.
Available the 15th of November, 2019. And immediately my mind went, hang on, available? Don't you mean releasing or launching? Available. What is available is a very sort of weird, vague choice of terms. And immediately I'm getting flashbacks to Anthem's launch with all of their different plans and subscription models and all sorts of other stuff. Available is a weird way to say launching, or it's going to be there.
It is. It kind of implies
caveats.
Yeah, caveats. Yeah, you're right. So I don't know. I'm trying not to worry too much about that, and maybe they just some strange person who was behind the design of that pin was like, I'll put available. Oh, maybe I shouldn't have put that. Oh well.
Maybe they're just leaving their options open.
Yeah.
Who's to say?
Yeah.
They're going to try and find a way to monetize this, though, even though they say they're not doing loot boxes and no microtransactions. Mm. Apparently, there's going to be no DLC either.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, the trailer was fine. You know, look, it was Star Wars. Cal just looks like Chris Pine.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm not, like, actually that bowled over by Cal as a character. Like,
no.
I'm sure he's... I don't think there's anything negative, but I'm just not like, oh, wow, this guy's cool.
Yeah, it's sort of strong-jawed American white boy, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's a fella.
Yeah.
In terms of what Javier asked us.
Yeah, ex-Avs.
Ex-Avs Ramirez.
Yeah.
Who sounds like a Star Wars character.
He does, actually, yeah.
Ex-Avs.
Manuel Bothhands.
Manuel Bothhands.
Yeah.
About how we feel about pre-rendered cutscenes. I think a lot of people were saying, you could have had a nice combination of both. You could have had some pre-rendered stuff and also shown some actual gameplay. Because I have a feeling that a lot of that stuff is probably taken from cutscenes in the game.
Yeah, I think it was.
But... I sure would like to see it running.
It was all in engine. They said that.
Okay.
So we know that. I wasn't like that bothered. I mean, I think it's a little bit like sometimes when there's a movie coming out, the very first trailer might not even have anything from the movie in it. It might be like a kind of art house. You know, like Game of Thrones. They tease Game of Thrones before it starts. And it's just like 12 characters like sitting on Iron Thrones or whatever.
Right.
And that's obviously not from an episode in the upcoming season.
Yeah.
And I don't mind if like the initial trailer for something is going to be just CG.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously beforehand, like sometime before release, I want to see a whole load of gameplay.
Yes.
So with this, given that it was our first actual look at the thing, I don't mind. I don't really mind. But yeah, I'd like to see more soon.
I think I'm okay with it. Again, I wasn't that blown away by it. Full stop, maybe just because it didn't really show anything about what we'd be doing. It just felt that could have been a trailer for a new animated series. Mm. It could, like, if you know,
yeah,
especially
it was pretty
vague. With the way EA has handled Star Wars over the last few years, people who saw that and immediately went, that's a day one purchase.
Yeah,
I there's something wrong with them, to and be honest, because yeah. I don't know how that could possibly get you so hyped up you'd be willing to trust EA of all people implicitly.
Yeah, because it's not even, I mean, something like The Mandalorian that they're, you know, they've shown bits of that now. That's the TV show, yeah. Mm. That's not actually been put online. That was kind of an exclusive for people who were at the event. But there's loads of just like mobile footage of the screen.
Right, of course.
So you can watch that online. And that is, in a way, it's presented in the same kind of style where it's just sort of some recognizable races and creatures and factions and things in the Star Wars universe, but you don't necessarily know what's going on. But at least with that, you can kind of just guess. Like, you can work out the main character is a bounty hunter, and it's a TV series. They're probably just going to be going from contract to contract every episode. And yeah, there'll be some overarching themes. But with this, all we know is it's a Jedi who survived Order 66. He's being hunted. But what's, like, where's he going? Like, is there a MacGuffin? What's he doing? We don't know that.
There's a Sith Lord.
Like, we know
chasing him.
Like, the villain who's hunting him down. And we know that, like, okay, he's one of the last few Jedi who survived. And that's it, you know? We don't have really any idea what the story is beyond, don't get caught. Ooh.
Knowing that Vincent has sort of diplomatic immunity from EA, kind of, with this game, I'd like to think that Respawn have done a very, very good job, as Respawn always do, and we'll see something very, very special. But you could have showed me that trailer and told me it was Star Wars The Force Unleashed 3, I would have said, oh, all right then.
Mm-hmm.
There was nothing there that really grabbed me. I want it to be good.
Yeah.
I haven't played a good Star Wars game.
Ever.
For a long time. Maybe, certainly not on PS3.
No, not recently. I mean, I'm talking about one later on, actually, in what we play in.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, let's push towards that. Thank you, Jav, for your question.
Thank you, Mr. X.
And let us know what you think of EA's handling of this, if they're sort of trying a bit too hard to get on everyone's good sides again with how they're marketing this, because several people were saying so proud to be working on a game that has no microtransactions and stuff, almost like they'd been told by higher-ups in EA to sort of put tweets out like that, because if they'd put a tweet out like that normally, you would have thought they would get in a lot of trouble for it. It all feels a bit manufactured, at least EA's promotion of it so far, not necessarily the game itself.
Well, one thing I would say about that is that, like, if they are literally just doing it because old Vinny made them release the game, and then they were like, oh, how do we, oh, let's pretend we've made a decision to not do this, but actually we're not going to release any more games like this that have a single player experience. It's all going to be loot boxes
and
from them.
And
yeah, if that's what they're secretly thinking, the one thing we can hope is that this game does astonishingly well, and they realize, oh, we don't have to do that anymore. But for the time being, I suspect they've just been almost forced to release this game because it was basically done, an acquisition.
Yeah.
And now they're thinking, right, we'll just get this out of the way and then we'll never do it again with a single player experience. So I don't know. We'll
Hopefully it's good. Hopefully it's good. I want it to be good. I don't want it to be bad. Mm-hmm. I'm wary because EA's involved.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We will.
Fingers crossed. Peeper.
Yeah.
What's next?
Well, what's next indeed? What is next? What? We.
Who?
Playing.
Welcome to What We Play, and this is a section that I think you should understand it by now. But I'll explain it anyway.
It's a real Ron Seal section, this one.
I'm sorry?
Ron Seal.
What's that?
Does exactly what it says on the tin.
Oh, okay. I see. But just in case you didn't understand, this is a section where we talk about what we play in with an apostrophe. Peter, you did a... You did a...
Don't talk to me when
drowned,
I'm gulping.
Yeah. Nearly drowned on your gulp there. Mm. You did a Star Wars?
So I didn't.
Okay.
But I'm going to. I've been away for a week.
You have?
Mostly on annual leave and out of the city. Mm-hmm. I've not had access to any gaming console device other than my mobile phone, which I don't play games on.
There's plenty of EA monetizable Star Wars games on mobile.
Oh, yeah.
That you could enjoy.
I'm sure there
Lots
are loads.
Lots of card games.
So I literally don't have a What We Play in this week because I've not played a video game for over 7 days.
Oh, no.
So what I thought I'd do, given the recent news and given that we would be talking about Star Wars, is talk about a Star Wars game that was good. You're right that there haven't been really any really good recent ones.
Yeah.
But what this kind of excites me for is that I played Jedi Academy on PC.
Okay.
And that was also on, certainly on Xbox Original.
I think so.
Yeah, not 360. Mm-hmm. That was a game that was actually set in a similar era to not this upcoming game, but The Mandalorian, i.e. straight after Return of the Jedi.
Right.
So it's the happy endings have happened in the film series, and Luke has founded his Jedi Academy.
Ooh.
And you're a new little Jedi boy or girl. It's an RPG.
Yep.
And you get to like invest in force powers and stuff and use your lightsaber. It's all quite melee-focused. You can carry a few firearms as well.
Yeah.
But that's a game that I really enjoyed. And the way they sort of described it, I know they weren't very detailed, but the way they've described Fallen Order, although it's set in a very different era, it kind of gets me exciting for similar reasons. Excited, sorry.
Ah.
It gets me exciting.
It gets me, it does me an excite.
Yeah, and that's a game that I often go back and play.
Well, funnily enough, the next question is kind of about
that. I'm not going to use that. I'm not going to make a third Star Wars.
Just scroll it all the way through the entire episode.
No, I've brought something else for that. But that's a game that I really enjoy. And although I'm not playing apostrophe it now, I do so very often. And, it's exciting.
I always wanted to play that game.
Yeah.
I never had anything that I could play it on, though.
Oh.
Never had an Xbox, never had a personal computer that was good enough. I probably do. Well, I don't even have a PC. I have a Mac, so I don't even know. But I would have loved to have played it at the time. And I very much missed sort of the golden age of Star Wars games, really, outside of PlayStation 2. And that was kind of limited, at least for my personal taste, to Battlefront, and that's all.
Well, I only had a PS2, but my brother had an Xbox, and I used to actually play it. I think it was even my brother's copy. I remember I also have a really vivid memory, because I was fairly young and not really old enough to do the research. I remember going into game at one point and saying, excuse me, do you have Jedi Academy? Is Jedi Academy on the PS2? And they were like, no, sorry, it's not.
No.
I was like, oh, okay, never mind.
Oh, dear.
But it still has a massive kind of cult following even today. You can get it on PC, and there's a huge mod community, and
I can only imagine
people are still playing it a lot. So, you know, I'm stoked for a single player Star Wars game where presumably you can choose different force powers and stuff. It's like going back to that. I'm not going to punch the desk because my mic is attached to it.
It is.
But that's the best I could do with what we're playing, is sort of, you know, at least allow us to transition from one segment to the next.
A valiant effort, yeah. I would say.
If you will now please give us a game you've actually been playing, that would be good.
I've been playing Borderlands Game of the Year Edition.
Oh, yeah.
I've been playing it a lot, and I've finished it.
You finished it?
I finished it in like 4 days.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, oh, yes, but oh, no.
Oh, yes.
It's over now for you.
Well, no, not quite. There's still all the DLC.
Oh, yes.
All of the DLC areas, and Borderlands has always been excellent with its DLC.
Mm-hmm.
So the first game had 4 expansions that were like whole new areas with loads of quests and storylines, and they were quite zany. So there's like a zombie one.
Yeah.
Where the doctor from the start of the game has moved to a different place, and he's just got a moustache on. He's called something else.
Right.
And he's accidentally zombified loads of people, and you've got to fight spooky Halloween things.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's one which is just sort of a bit crap, admittedly, which is sort of like a Colosseum survival round based wave thing where you just face harder and harder enemies.
Right.
And then there's one called the Secret Armory of General Knox.
Yeah.
Where at the end you get in the Secret Armory of General Knox, and you get like a time limit. And it's like Willy Wonka's. And it's just all the chests with all of the weapons in it, and you have like 2 minutes to get as many Willy Wonka weapons as you can carry.
Oh my God, there's no earthly way of knowing
which gun you're going to get out of the chest.
No.
And you can tell as those DLCs were released how sort of the plot and the characters start to form something quite solid for Borderlands 2 to launch off.
Okay.
Borderlands 1 is excellent, and it is what it is. But Borderlands 2 took it in sort of a whole ridiculous, zany direction.
Yeah.
And you can clearly see the beginnings of that in some of the DLCs with their dialogue and the characters. And, you know, whole new characters are introduced in the DLC that, you know, sort of mainstays in the sequel.
Yeah.
and it's excellent. So I'm looking forward to playing through those. Got through... the platinum's really easy.
Is
it's
it?
Basically just sort of finishing the game and doing a few optional things.
Well, you popped loads of trophies when you moved your save data across, didn't
you? I did, yeah. I loaded up my old save data. I ported it from the PS3 version. And as soon as I loaded in, I got every single DLC trophy for the zombie expansion. Just popped one after the other.
Right.
Don't know why. Not that I'm complaining. But yeah, I am big fan of that game.
Mm-hmm.
Very much enjoying it. Looking forward to playing more. Going to be something of a loss after I've finished it, I think, because I won't really be sure what to do next. I think maybe Days Gone will be out.
Oh, yeah.
But Borderlands 3 gameplay reveal, trailer/stream. Hopefully it's not a stream again. But whatever they decide to do, it's going to be on the 1st of May, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing that game running properly and people playing it. I already know I've pre-ordered the most expensive version.
Oh my God.
Available. The collector's edition.
Yeah.
That's exclusive to game in the UK. I was going to get that, but you can't pre-order it online. You have to get this. You have to go into an actual shop.
What?
And you have to put your money down.
Excuse me, just Jedi Academy. I'd like to reserve the PS2 release of Jedi Academy and also Borderlands 3 with the chests and the stuff in it.
So I pre-ordered the next most expensive version that comes with a couple of physical crudites.
Do you not fancy trying to go into a physical store?
I'm not that fussed.
Okay.
That's the thing. Like, I would love to have some physical Borderlands 3 goodness clogging up my home, because it's one of the series that I truly, truly love.
Yeah.
Much like you with your various Spyro figurines.
Well, exactly. That's why
I
thought you might go into the shop for it. Might be worth it for you.
I'll think about it.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced the game will still be around in
right.
October whenever it launches, but we'll see. But at least the I know that I'm getting one that is closer to £100 than I would like.
Yeah.
And comes with a really nice case and loads of in-game stuff, all the DLC and stuff that's going to be released. I'll get a season pass for that. So I think that's the most sensible option for now, short of actually being asked to go into town and find a game.
Yeah. I mean, you could wait till after and then buy one for probably an even higher price.
Yeah, sure.
People are flipping them.
I don't know how much they are. That's the thing. It's not. There's very little information on games' website.
Right.
You click through. They've got this big splash screen for Borderlands 3. Mm-hmm. You click through the different options, and there's just no collector's edition listed underneath all the options for you to actually pre-order. So
shame.
That's a missed opportunity there, because I would have put down that money.
Well, I mean, one day I hoped you mentioned my big love of the Spyro Purple Boy.
Yes.
I keep thinking one day I might buy the Australian exclusive for some reason, like Steelbook version.
Oh, okay.
The only reason I didn't, I was tempted to just literally buy one with international shipping at launch.
Yeah.
But then it was like, I want to play the game on launch, and mm-hmm. if I order it from Australia, it might not arrive. And I didn't really want to buy two versions of it initially, so in case it was terrible.
You should treat yourself.
On the off chance. Yeah, maybe one day I will. But they're probably super expensive as well, because I'm guessing they're fairly limited and people are just flipping them. But
maybe. You might be able to just find the actual Steelbook on its own.
Yeah,
just
some
people do just flip the Steelbook.
Yeah.
Pre-order stuff. So.
True.
Worth having a look.
So that's what Ben's playing and what I will probably play at some point this year.
when he's ready.
Yeah.
When he's ready for it.
Yeah.
What's the next question, Peter?
This is a question. It's called question two.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It comes from Ern Arrowsmith, which sounds like a Lord of the Rings character. So we've had one from Manny Bothans.
Yeah.
And now this is a Lord of the Rings. On the last episode, you mentioned getting an itch to play certain games occasionally. Are there specific games you tend to get a hankering for, or is it more like genres or gameplay types? For me, every couple of years or so, this is still the question, this isn't my answer. Yeah. For me, every couple of years or so, I get an itch to play a Pokemon game or something in the vein of Zelda. Mm. And I normally find after a few hours of playing, my itch is scratched, then I'm good for another year or two.
Mm.
Wow. Ben.
Hello.
Do you have any games that you go back and play, or is it more of a genre game type kind of thing?
Well, that's the thing. I find myself less and less wanting to actually go back and play things that I played before. Oh. I know I've certainly played Final Fantasy VII a few times, but I feel like with the PS4 re-release and being able to get trophies on it and things like that and also play it, it has sort of cheats built in.
Mm-hmm.
So you can click the analog sticks in and you'll get like invulnerability or like loads of money or infinite whatever they're called, finishers. I know what they're called. I just can't. Name escapes me right now. So I was basically, you can also turn off random encounters as well.
Oh.
So I was essentially able to, once I'd nearly finished the game, is look up guides and just go and find all the content that I'd never been able to see before in previous playthroughs.
Right.
Without the hindrance of being chased every 2 minutes by everything under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good. But I feel like I'm done there until the remake ever comes out.
If it
comes out.
Episodically, isn't it, as
Oh,
well?
It's going to be a disaster.
Mm.
But I have to agree with Elvin Arrowsmith here about Pokemon games.
Yeah.
Because I do find myself drawn back to the first three Pokemon games every so often.
Mm-hmm.
Either I bust out my Game Boy or I play it. What was it? I played it on the 3DS when they released it on the eShop.
Oh, yeah.
And they added in the ability to trade wirelessly.
Oh, right, okay.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
So I played it through again then. And then obviously I played it. I got a custom Game Boy Advance from EGX that year that we went. You remember when I bought one of those?
I do. Yeah, you bought one. Yeah.
And I bought Pokemon Fire Red, which itself is a remake of Pokemon Red.
Mm-hmm.
Played through almost all of that.
Right.
Before sort of getting distracted and forgot. And then most recently played through Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, which is the same game again.
Yeah.
But just sort of remade and upgraded and slightly different. So I always find myself drawn back to those games eventually, one way or the other.
Mm.
But what about you?
Well, other than I am more of a go back and replay kind of fella. I do it a lot.
Okay.
I mean, as opposed to you saying nowadays you don't have much of a hankering.
Right.
Other than like just my favorite games that I've talked about a lot on podcasts and other videos and stuff, which I won't go over. And Star Wars as well, Jedi Academy, which I play.
Coming soon to PlayStation.
Coming soon to PlayStation, yeah.
Yeah.
Skyrim, I mean, I can't help. I kind of, you know, it's come out on so many different platforms now that, like, you see it all the time, you know.
Yeah.
It's so old now, but it's always on social media and YouTube and, you know, it's in, like, compilations.
It's a meme.
Like, it's a, yeah, exactly.
Just, it won't die.
So I see it and I go, oh yeah, that was a good game. Maybe I could go back and play it in a different way. And then I always go back and play it in exactly the same
stealth
way.
Stealth archer?
A stealth cat boy, yeah.
Yeah, not, stealth cat boy.
I'm archer. Not much of an archer.
No?
But, not really. Okay. But yeah.
I cannot touch Skyrim anymore.
No?
Even like, I just can't. I've been tempted a couple of times, but that was years ago, which is ridiculous when we're talking about a game that was released so long ago anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I played it so much and so intensely when it first came out. I did mention it on this podcast before about how I only went downstairs once the entire first weekend it came out just to get a pizza from the front door. And then just stayed in my room the entire rest of the time while I was in university.
Yeah.
And I played it so much that I just can't. I started and I'm like, I'm bored. I'm bored. I can't be bothered.
Well, that's what I was about to say, is that I go back and play it maybe not once a year, but every so often, and I play it for like two or three sittings and then I completely forget about it, and then that save file is always there when I go back 2 years later. And it's always, I always play it in the same way. I'm a cat boy, I do a lot of stealth, I join the Thieves Guild, I don't do any main quests, and I get bored. So,
do you get sad when you bump into Uncle Giraffe and have to kill him?
Yeah, I suppose I do a little bit. Well, don't get sad. It just reminds me of happy times.
He lives on. He'll be with us forever.
I think I've only played it once since Uncle Giraffe was born into our wiki.
What a night on the town that
was. Other game that, I mean, I just had such a hankering for recently is... the entire Uncharted series, the Drake games anyway. I liked Lost Legacy, but I don't feel the need to go back and play that. But I own Uncharted 4. I borrowed at the time when I first got my PS4 the Drake collection from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't own that. And I don't want to go and play Uncharted 4 yet until I've played through 1 to 3 again. So I keep meaning to just nip to CEX and get like a relatively cheap copy of.
Yeah, you'll be able to get it for that. Yes. I think it's probably on sale at the moment. There's a PlayStation Store sale. Although you like your boxes, don't you?
I like my boxes. I don't know. Games. I wouldn't necessarily mind if I got it digitally. But yeah, that's a game that is a current itch that requires a scratch.
Mm.
So that's one I'll be. It might even be on a future what we play in for
Ooh.
Me.
That will be exciting.
We'll see.
Look forward to that.
Yeah, I'm just skint at the moment, so.
Yeah, aren't we all?
Not for now.
Aren't we all? You know, speaking of, I say I'm skint, I'm going to buy a new TV this weekend.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, I think I'm going to do it.
Oh, my God.
Because I've just been sort of, like, I feel like I've been putting money away forever.
Yeah.
Sort of fruitlessly.
For nothing.
For no reason. And buying things makes me happy, and I feel like I just want like a big splurge,
because
I've not bought anything nice for myself for a long, long time.
Yeah, you're going to do a big splurge all over your TV.
I think I'm going to splurge all over my TV. I've also managed to find, because you're familiar with my living room, because you've been there.
Yeah.
I've also managed to find the exact TV stand setup thing from Argos that I currently own. I'm thinking of buying another one and just moving the current TV over onto that. And then having the new one next to it where the other one previously was. And then hooking my other consoles up to that. So it looks like a proper nerd living room.
Oh, you mean with two TVs in the living room? Why?
Why not? What else am I going to do with it? Think of the possibilities, Peter.
But why get a new TV then?
Because I want a bigger TV.
Right.
Sort of future-proofed slightly with 4K.
I don't know. It just seems strange to have two TVs... Oh, next to each other.
It absolutely does.
It's like Only Fools and Horses or something. Didn't they have two TVs?
I have no idea.
I think like one of them had sound that worked and the other one had picture that worked. Or like one was colour and one, I don't know.
I just quite like the idea because I do have people visit relatively frequently.
Yeah.
And they bring their console and we play
games.
Right,
I mean, it works for that, yeah.
And I have a TV in my room and usually I have to bring the TV through and it's like a big, heavy, old thing and it's a pain in the ass. And then this way, I could just have my... PS3 permanently hooked up to the other TV just in case I ever want to, you know.
Well, because that was going to be my suggestion, is you could get rid of your big heavy one and put your living room TV in your bedroom TV. But I don't know why this is a conversation we're having.
No,
live.
You're trying to talk. I feel like you're trying to talk me out of it now.
No. I mean, it makes sense. If you often have friends over who bring their consoles, you can do a system link. Does that still happen?
No, I don't think so. Don't do I think that's something that's a long time ago.
A LAN party. yeah, okay. Well, you know, I think having two TVs in the living room has some practical uses, but it's also a bit, Ben, it's a bit weird.
It's a bit weird,
is it? That news that you might be having two TVs in your living room is a bit weird, that news.
It's weird news, is it?
Yeah, that news is weird news.
Is it weird news, though?
Yeah, it is.
It's weird news.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Weird news time, Peter.
What have you got?
Well, I've got a weird news story here.
Have you?
Yeah.
It's
from our friends. They're not our friends. They're not our friends, but they're just not our friends.
Oh.
At Kotaku.
Oh, no, we're friends.
We're friends.
They know us.
Yeah.
Best friends.
Did it? Okay. Big peddlers of weird news.
Yep.
Ben, did you know that Oculus accidentally hid in...
Where did it hide?
No, it didn't hide in anything.
Hid in children's playground.
No, the in comes three words later, but okay. I read it too soon. Right. Oculus accidentally hid creepy messages in thousands of VR controllers.
Oh.
Do you know about this?
No, I didn't know about this.
Well,
is this?
It's happened. This is written by Joshua Rivera.
Rivera.
On Kotaku. Mm-hmm. With every bit of new technology that hits the market, it's hard not to wonder... In what previously unimagined ways will this compromise my privacy?
Yeah.
Turns out that's also something very much on the mind of the people who make the latest gear. Mm. So to cut a long story short, apparently if you open up your Oculus, Oculus Touch controller,
okay,
some of them have been shipped with creepy privacy-related Easter egg messages hidden in the internal hardware.
Oh, no.
I don't think this was intentional. I think later on it says that it was like some of them are only can only be found in like prototype models that I guess maybe only press have or like special buyers. But it some of them have gone out into just genuine like consumer models.
Okay.
And I think they were put in there as some kind of placeholder or like in joke while they were being made, and then they were accidentally made into the real ones.
Okay.
But here's a list of messages.
Yep.
Crack open one of these controllers, and in the device's guts you might find a message like "The Masons were here," inscribed on a cable.
Okay.
Other devices apparently shipped with "Big Brother is watching." But according to Mitchell... Nate Mitchell, who I've skipped over who that is.
Yeah. A man involved.
He's a man. He's the co-founder of Oculus.
Oh, okay.
And he had to do a tweet about it because people realised there are weird things inside.
Very strange stuff going on.
But according to Mitchell, it's the developer kits that have that one inscribed on.
Okay.
Big Brother is watching. So his response, he says, unfortunately, some Easter egg labels meant for prototypes accidentally made it into the internal hardware for tens of thousands of touch controllers.
That's quite the accident.
It is. The messages on final production hardware say, "This space is for rent," and "The Masons were here."
okay.
A few dev kits shipped with Big Brother is watching, and "Hi, iFixit, we see you." I don't know what iFixit is.
Oh, I think he's a YouTube man.
Oh, okay.
Who does Welcome to My Tutorial page about
right.
Fixing broken technology.
Oh, I see. So then they put it in as though, because he might crack it open
and just freak him out.
Mitchell's statement goes on to apologise for these Easter eggs slipping past the prototype phase and into production, calling them inappropriate and saying their internal processes have been changed to avoid this happening again.
Good.
This, let's keep in mind, coming from a company sort of owned by Facebook.
Yep.
Who are...
Big Brother is watching.
Who are well known for their... high levels of privacy and data protection.
Yes, they're really good.
It says right here in the article, the messages are a bit of a bleak, uncomfortable gallows humour from the Facebook-owned company, given how powerful and delinquent Facebook has been in the realms of online privacy. It's a bit of real-world context that takes a very common practice and gives it discomfiting lay... Oh, this is written really badly. Joshua, you're terrible.
No, come on, okay. Joshua, what are you playing at?
I don't know. I think I just can't read very well. But
that's weird, though. That's pretty weird news.
That has happened. Mm. Yeah.
It freak me out.
Do you want to hit me back with something weirder?
I don't know if it's weirder, but I've already forgotten what it is. So let's find out. Here we go.
As he gradually opens it up on the weird newsometer.
The weird newsometer. Oh, it's really big.
It is.
Pepsi considered defending gamers with a billboard in space. This is also from Kotaku.
Defending gamers...
I'll explain, don't worry.
Okay.
This is from, apparently, a relative of mine, Aaron Potter.
Oh, okay.
Who wrote, imagine looking into the calm night sky and in the foreground of a galaxy of shimmering stars, seeing a confrontational space advertisement demanding justice for gamers.
Oh my God. Hashtag
justice for gamers. Last weekend, the website Futurism reported that PepsiCo recently considered launching an orbital billboard in space to promote its campaign against stereotypes and unjustified prejudices against gamers.
Right, that's really going to endear, like, the elderly and, like, naturalists.
Yep.
You know, when they see a giant piece of space junk saying, leave gamers alone, floating around.
What a horrid idea. The Russian company StartRocket, which claims it can launch orbital displays into space at a 250-mile altitude, is behind this bizarre and invasive foray into space capitalism.
God.
Apparently, it will use 30-foot satellite sails as pixels. PepsiCo reportedly would use StartRocket's tech to launch an ad for Adrenaline Rush, an energy drink aimed at the Russian gamer market. A recent YouTube manifesto, or so they call it, not Kotaku, this is Pepsi.
Right.
About the product, combats the idea that video games are for children, calling that, are you ready, Peter?
Yeah.
Are you sitting comfortably?
No.
Is your seatbelt on?
No.
The most unfair stereotype of the century.
What on earth?
A press release for Adrenaline...
Excuse me? Can you say that again?
A recent YouTube manifesto about the product, this being Adrenaline Rush, an energy drink aimed at the Russian gamer market, combats the idea that video games are for children, calling that the most unfair stereotype of the century. Yep.
Yeah.
A press release for Adrenaline Rush explains that the time has come for change. It's time to say stop to the disrespect and misunderstanding of gaming culture, to get rid of unfair stereotypes.
Did they think that... I guess they thought that this would just be really, really popular among gaming audiences and they'd all start drinking
Gamers
Pepsi.
In Russia would just go... Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, love it.
Whereas we all hear that and we're like, please do not do that, for the love of God.
That sounds like a really horrible idea.
Yeah.
The stereotypes in question, apparently, are that gamers are toxic, unemployed children, which I think they've just reinforced, to be honest.
Well, if you're children, you are going to be unemployed. Like, you can't have both of those things in an insult next to each other, can you?
Mm.
Look at you, you unemployed child. What? Yeah, I mean,
you short child.
If I'm a child, why should I be employed? Don't call me lazy.
Yeah, they're not allowed.
I'm not leeching.
There's labour laws against that kind of thing.
Yeah,
gamers are toxic. I mean, it's not necessarily the message isn't necessarily toxic there, but it is very. We demand to be taken seriously. It's a bit. It's a bit sort of hype montage for esports.
Yeah,
a little bit cringe.
Yeah,
just a little bit cringe. I mean, it's not real sports.
What bothers me most about this is not even that it's gaming related news. If I heard this on any podcast about any advertisement, is the correct pronunciation?
Yes.
The notion of an orbital billboard that just floats past the sky
outside
your...
Gamers are real.
Yeah.
Respect
I don't
us.
Care what it says. Even if it says, you know, don't eat beef or, like, you know,
the
save
earth
the whales.
Is flat.
The earth
as it
is flat.
Floats over the curvature of the...
Yeah. Yeah. Even if it's a really nice message that I agree with, like... Mm. Let's all love each other and get on.
Hope you're having a good day,
Peter.
Hope
you're having a fantastic
love
day.
Mum.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want orbital billboards to become a thing ever.
No.
There must be legislation against that. Like, it, like UN, like, international law saying... Because you're not allowed to... We've laid down the law, collectively, as a planet, that the moon cannot be...
Claimed
or colonised by a specific nation. We have to just, like... collectively
share it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And I think that might be, I think the same might be said for Antarctica, possibly. Mm. Or maybe not. Maybe that's just the only unclaimed land.
I know there's a place that a Scandinavian country, and I'm fairly sure it might be, it's either Canada or the United States. It's probably Canada. Mm-hmm. They keep going and knocking each other's flags down.
Oh, really?
And taking it. Just, it's sort of, it's quite harmless, really.
Yeah.
But they keep leaving things for each other.
Cheeky.
Just seeing who's gonna come and knock their flag
what
over.
What about the international conglomerate of Sealand or whatever it's called? The international. are you aware of Sealand?
Oh yeah.
In like the English Channel.
Oil rig, isn't it? Or
no, it's
like
an old like concrete platform that was there for World War II in case Hitler was gonna sail over.
And then there's Sealand.
It's like a defense thing. And someone just sailed out to it because all the others were being destroyed by the government and there was one that they'd not yet got round to. And someone sailed out to it and was like, this is mine now because you built this outside of UK waters, which was technically not a war crime, but they weren't supposed to do it. So it didn't actually belong to the UK even though they built it. So someone sailed onto
Sealand.
It. It's mine now. It's called Sealand. and he's like, his family still...
Doesn't even make any sense.
It's a sovereign state.
Sealand.
Anyway, that was a massive tangent.
Yeah, no, you're
please
right.
Please don't put billboards in space.
Don't put billboards in space. It's kind of like Crimea, you know? Nobody should have it.
No.
Everyone should just leave, including the Crimeans.
The Crimeans, yeah.
Curious and a little, read, extremely skeptical of the prospect of space billboards. Billboards existing outside of the anime Cowboy Bebop. Kotaku reached out to PepsiCo to confirm that this is real. And it is, the company explained, but their so-called exploratory test was a one-time event. So it's not going to happen, but apparently it was very much seriously considered.
It could have been
for a while there.
Done.
Adrenaline rush. I bet it's awful. If you're in Russia and have had adrenaline rush...
If you're a toxic, unemployed child, then let us know in the comments.
Yep, please do.
It's time for a question, Ben, I believe.
It is.
Yeah, we've just done weird news. So now, this is a question from Robert James, two first names. He asks, with modern devices becoming more expensive, and in brackets it says $1,000 smartphones...
What?
Would you guys be surprised if next-gen consoles break the $1,000 price point? Would you still buy them?
Oh, they...
Yes.
Won't.
Yes,
and
I'd
yes,
be surprised.
You'd be surprised.
And no, I would absolutely not buy a $1,000 console.
No. I think they know that is just not going to fly. We're going to be talking about the PlayStation 5 very shortly because a load of news came out about that. And it's already been stated that the price will be, and I'm quoting now, appealing to gamers.
Appealing.
So presumably it'll be sort of roughly the same kind of price.
Well, we're all unemployed, so it's probably
pretty low. Well,
exactly,
yeah, toxic people who can't even... I don't even think you're allowed to touch sort of games consoles if you're toxic, because the plastic will sort of melt.
That'd be
and
corrosive,
it'll
yeah.
It'll sort of release very harmful fumes.
That symbol on it with the dead fish and the tree that's like rotting away.
That's what gamers are.
Yeah.
That's the gamer flag right there.
Mm.
Rotting fish and
hazard.
Dead trees.
Toxic, yeah.
No, this is not going to happen. And you have to bear in mind as well with $1,000 smartphones is a lot of people... don't have $1,000 smartphones because they can't afford them, and those who do, and even the cheaper phones, people get them on contracts. Very few people pay the lump sum for a phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think our good friend Michael Johnson did, and we both expressed dismay and surprise when he said he did, but that's exactly the kind of thing that he would do.
I don't remember him doing that, but I believe you that he did.
I think
and
he
that
did.
I would definitely have dismayed, expressed dismay if he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never, ever owned a $1,000 smartphone, not on contract or anything. When I get I mean, I'm an iPhone boy at the moment. I'll probably give up after this because I want a damn headphone jack.
Yeah, me too. And the phones are too big as well.
Yeah.
They're too big.
But when I get a smartphone, not only do I get them on contract so that it's nice spread payment, but also I always go like a model or two back than the current one.
Right.
I don't care about like being contemporary with a smartphone.
But you can watch films on your phone in 4K.
In 4K?
I don't care.
But it's so small. Why?
I'm not ever in a position to look at my phone for that long.
I don't want to see a really, really detailed tiny screen.
No.
I'd just rather get my laptop, you know?
Oh. Hello.
Honk.
Oh, there's some sort of fire jury now.
He can't get through, or she. It could be a fire woman.
It could be, I think they're called firefighters now.
No, it's called a fire man or woman.
Like a man of war.
Yeah.
Fire man
Portuguese
or woman.
Portuguese man or woman.
if you cast your memory back, as particularly into the 1990s, you've got the Neo Geo, the Panasonic 3DO, and the Philips CDI. They were all at the $600 or more price point, and adjusting for inflation, they would be over $1,000 right now. And I haven't looked up specific stats and figures for how well they did, but we're not playing the Neo Geo 5. We're not talking about the Neo Geo 5 now.
I don't even remember the Neo Geo or the Panasonic 3DO. I think I've heard of the Philips CDI.
Right.
But yeah, they didn't do that well, did they?
No, clearly not.
There's not a Panasonic conference at E3. No one's watching the live stream, the Neo Live 2.0.
Yeah.
You know, so no, Robert, in answer to your question, I don't think it'll break $1,000. I would not buy it. And I think that's why it won't break $1,000, is because they know that people would not. The games are already expensive enough. I think it's extortionate, really, like that some games come out at basically 50 GBP.
Well, so most of them are 60 now.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's a whole other discussion. But the price of game development is so... It's just getting higher and higher.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
I
understand the
higher.
Reasoning, but...
But, yeah, it's difficult. It's already a very expensive hobby. PlayStation, I like to think, have learned their lesson from the PS3's launch and how expensive that was.
Mm-hmm.
Although it kind of had to be that expensive because it was still the cheapest Blu-ray player you could get at the time. So the technology in it was kind of ridiculous. But I think they're striking a finer balance, and I'm sure that'll be the same across the board. I doubt we'll see any consoles breaking £400.
Sort
of $450, $500, I'd have thought, for the next gen, whenever that comes.
Unless there's some sort of special, stupid version of it.
Version.
The standard versions will not be breaking that.
Just a stupid version.
Hopefully. But while we're on the subject of upcoming $1,000 consoles, Ben?
Yeah?
It's time for... It's not the paper one. That's for weird news.
Oh, I thought we'd do it for this as well.
Maybe we do. It's big. It's a discussion.
It's the big discussion. It's the big
question.
It's the discussion.
It's not a question.
Big discussion time, Peeper.
This is actually, I mean, you've brought a question along. Someone did ask. We were going to talk about this already.
Yeah.
This was going to be a topic, but someone asked us the question. What are your thoughts on the PS5 announcement/info release? Will you get one on release, or do you think you'll wait a bit? This is actually from Jessica James. Do you think she's married to or partner to Robert James of Question 3 fame?
I have no idea. My mind went in a completely different direction then.
Yeah.
I just realized she has both of the names of Team Rocket.
Yeah, she does. Jesse James.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure where you were going, but I have no idea.
Thank you, Jessica, and Robert James.
James is not an uncommon last name.
It's not, no.
So it could well be that,
But yeah, thoughts on PS5?
Well, Peeter, we're going to go to Push Square now.
Your friends at Push Square.
Actually know them, Push Square.
Mm.
Sony took, and this is dated by a few days now, but okay. Sony took the entire industry by surprise today, effectively announcing the PlayStation 5 as part of a Wired exclusive on an otherwise ordinary Tuesday afternoon.
Oh.
Wired being a publication about technology.
Mm.
Technology! The supercharged console, which is promising revolution rather than evolution, has been built using the same blueprints as the PlayStation 4, meaning that it's developer-focused and fully backwards compatible.
Yes.
Here's everything we've learned about the next generation system today. So I'll be putting a link to this in the description. Pushquare have done a number of articles, as you would imagine, all about the various things that have come out, but they've also got this great summary article that links to all of the individual articles.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to run down some of the bullet points now. So the first one, Peter,
hit me,
is the price will be appealing to gamers.
That's a quote.
That is a quote. Mm. And this is I think an interview with Mark Cerny, who is the lead, I don't know if he's the lead architect, but he's certainly the system architect for the PlayStation 5.
I was thinking it's interesting that he's called Mark Cerny and he works for Sony. It's like he's from
Hull. It's fun, isn't it?
I'm Mark Cerny. Mark, comma, Cerny. That's who I always
that's
think
his
of.
Accent.
Yeah, he's got like a flat cap. Mark Cerny.
Before we go any further, can you explain to us, Peter, who Mark Cerny is and why he's a real good boy?
What specifically?
There you go.
Oh, it's down
don't worry,
there.
Not from memory. I wrote it for you.
I was like, I don't know the guy. I mean, I'm sure
you will do after reading this. You'll be very familiar with his work.
I know that he's a clever man, but I'm glad you've actually enclosed the answer that you want. Mark Cerny, lead architect of the PS4 and the Vita.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
well,
we all like
Vita.
PS4s. You like the Vita, don't you?
Vita is a lovely little console.
Yeah, he was a mastermind behind Knack as well. Of course, I forgot about
Knack
that.
Knack is his baby.
Yeah,
that he keeps making it.
Good old Knack.
Yeah.
I mean, Knack 2 did better than Knack 1, right?
It did, but it was still bad.
Yeah. Designer, programmer, and producer on a number of notable series, including Spyro, Crash Bandicoot, Jak and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank Resistance, Uncharted, God of War, Killzone, Marvel, Spider-Man, and the upcoming Death Stranding. They're all good games.
They're all really good games.
Really good games.
And he's been involved at various levels across them as well. But, you know, not just sort of slapping his name on as a producer credit at the end. Like he's been in there, he's been working on it.
I'm an executive producer, put my name on it because
I
have
poster.
Money. But he gets his hands dirty.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the dirt under his fingernails, the equivalent of. Dude has been around.
Yeah, this is my writing here. It sounds weird to hear you say that.
Dude has been around since joining Atari in 1982. I like Atari. Mm. He knows his stuff. And he sounds like the Joker.
Yeah, so...
Does he?
So basically, he's been around for a long time, and he's really, really good.
Mm.
He does sound like the Joker. He's very softly spoken.
Oh,
he sort of talks like this. He sounds a little bit threatening.
Yeah.
Almost like he's holding back a rage that you have not seen before.
He reminds me of... a friend of my family. He looks just like him. And when he announced, because he announced the Crash Bandicoot remaster, didn't he, on stage?
Are you familiar with how he talks then and how he sounds?
I am. Yeah.
I encourage you all to go and look up any interview or presentation from Mark Cerny because
I think it was him who announced
there's just a deeply unnerving way that he talks that just makes me think he's capable of very violent things.
It's like, did Heath Ledger base it on that interview of
Tom Waits?
Or was it on Mark Cerny?
I don't know. It could have been.
You got people working for you and everything. have we got more details?
Yeah, so it's fully backwards compatible with all PS4 games, which obviously is great. But I think the big thing that people want to know is about earlier titles and if that's going to be a thing. So they haven't announced everything yet. Obviously, we've still got some things we want to know, but. In terms of like a big blowout of information, just all of a sudden, this is a lot to go off for now.
Yeah.
It will not launch in 2019.
Hmm.
It will be compatible with PSVR headsets currently.
Great.
And it'll be likely that there'll be an upgraded and iterated version releasing at some point. It will innovate how game audio is processed, and this is taken from the PushSquare article. Sony's new console will come with a custom chip designed specifically to deliver 3D audio. Do you want to try and read this as Mark Cerny?
He's
going for it.
With the next console, the dream is to show how dramatically different. I see.
Okay, so
dramatically different the audio experience can be when we apply significant amounts of hardware horsepower to it.
Thank you.
I mean, that was leaning more towards the Joker, really.
Well, what's the difference?
It's kind of a blend of the two.
What's the difference?
And sounded like neither as a result.
That was system architect for the PlayStation 5, Heath Ledger, there, reporting on that. So that's exciting as well.
Mm.
They're putting it full of stuff that future-proofs it, supposedly.
Yeah, 3D audio. I mean, I've never really, obviously, other than wearing like stereo headphones, I've not really experienced kind of 3D audio in just sitting in a living room or whatever. Does it mean it's like, you know, when like people throw their voice and stuff? It's like stuff.
You know what? I'm not entirely
sound,
sure.
I've had surround sound before, but
I did my university dissertation on binaural audio.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Where
experience with that?
Microphones are placed at a dummy's head, at the ear holes, and things are recorded around it, so that when you, the listener, are sat there listening to it, the things are happening all around you.
It's cool. It's very immersive.
Yeah, and you can just YouTube search binaural audio samples and things, and there'll be like a hairdresser's where it'll tell you to close your eyes and it sounds like the clippers are moving around your head and stuff like that. So I don't know if it's sort of that kind of thing, in which case we have experienced it slightly, albeit maybe not quite as good as it could possibly be with PlayStation VR.
Yeah.
Because obviously, you know, when you're moving your head around, the sound needs to move with you. Otherwise, that would be weird.
People
but
do come and whisper in your ears and stuff sometimes in VR games, don't they?
They do, and it makes me really uncomfortable. Mm. So it might just be sort of a more immersive version of that.
Yeah.
I'm sure people can let us know in the comments below exactly what that means. But either way, it's not a bad thing, is it?
No.
Not a bad thing.
I'll tell you what's also not a bad thing.
Go on.
It will have a disc drive.
Thank goodness. So physical media will live on. I mean, presumably that's going to be very helpful for backwards compatibility with PS4 games.
Yeah.
But hopefully PS5 games will be physical for a long old time.
Mm. This was then followed up almost the next day with Microsoft officially announcing a completely discless version of the Xbox One.
Mm. As we've spoken about before,
but they've now sort of officially confirmed that they're doing that. So two slightly different approaches there. That's obviously not to say that all future Xbox consoles aren't going to have a disc drive, but they seem to have different priorities because it seems to be a selling point of the PS5. They're like, yeah, don't worry, disc drive, that's a good thing. So,
What have we got here? I've completely lost my place, Peter.
PS5 will use a specialized SSD, that's a solid state drive, to dramatically reduce the load times and improve performance in games. That's basically what modern computers use.
Yeah, a lot of them. So no internal moving parts. So it's less likely they'll get busted.
Yeah.
Busted makes me feel bad.
Yeah.
With hard drives.
Me too.
And it'll load reek quick and stuff, but it's sort of, I think it's, they're working on a very special, almost proprietary version, possibly. And I don't know if that's going to make it really, really complicated to upgrade your system storage, because previously that's been something that you were able to do on the PS3 and the PS4 with relative ease, apart from getting the hard drives out of those stupid bloody caddies that are in there, because they do the screws up so tightly that you just sort of have to wrench it out. Mine has a bit of paper wedged in there.
It was easier
because the caddy's broken.
Oh no!
So I just placed it in there.
That seems like a terribly unsafe thing to do.
It's fine as long as I'm not. There's no earthquake. I'll be all right.
Yeah, I mean that was certainly easier to do that on 360. I had a 360 for a time, and that was just bolted onto the side externally, and you just pressed the button and it popped off.
But that was like a proprietary one, right? You had to buy an Xbox branded hard drive. Whereas with PS3 and PS4, you could buy any hard drive as long as it was 2.5 inch.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what I'm saying is, you know, at least if it's proprietary, then it means that, you know, they can just make it maybe a bit more user friendly.
Maybe, but they can also charge crazy money, which they have done with it. Do you remember the PSP?
I remember the PSP, I never had one. But
well, they had the Pro Memory Stick Pro Duo, and it was a little SD card that worked on nothing else.
Oh, really?
Only the PSP.
Cheeky.
And the 1 gigabyte one, and I know a gigabyte was probably a lot for 2005, but that was over £100.
Oh, my God.
It was just absurd. It launched with a 32 megabyte card.
Yeah.
It was crap. Crap.
And so that's something that if you tread on it, that's £100.
That's gone.
Gone.
That's gone. So hopefully, again, they've learned from their mistakes there if this is truly proprietary and they're the only ones who make them.
Yeah. Well, they've had a long time to think about it, Ben, because Sony's apparently been building this for 4 years.
It's a long time.
That is a long time.
I was still in nappies 4 years ago.
Yeah, well, I'm still in nappies now, so it is a really long time.
Yeah.
Kojima's Death Stranding could release on both PS4 and PS5. I'm concerned...
This doesn't surprise anyone, well, no, I don't think.
Exactly. I mean, I'm concerned at this point that Beyond Good and Evil 2 might only be next-gen. I'm slightly worried about that.
It's true. We'll probably get a lot of crossover, though. Mm. Just like we did last time, you know...
Well,
MGS5,
yeah, you always do, really.
Destiny, Assassin's Creed, a lot of these games launched on both PS3 and PS4.
Harry Potter was on PS1 and PS2.
Was it?
As I'm sure lots of other sort of licensed, you know, we want to appeal to every possible
console.
Get
it on everything.
Yeah.
Sell as many as possible.
Yeah. So, yeah, it won't surprise me if there's various games releasing on PS4 and PS5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will support 8K, which is something we were talking about with Google Stadia
it's
the other
day. It's something that nobody needs.
Not yet.
That's better. It's not better than the human eye, but we're getting there.
It's going to look better than we can even perceive it to look.
Basically, if I've not got... I mean, it's already the case. If I'm not wearing my glasses, it doesn't matter what bloody resolution I'm looking at. So why would I care about it being in 8K?
No, I suppose not. I imagine what the point of these better resolutions is that you can afford to have bigger TVs.
It's all future-proof.
And it not look as bad.
And bigger TVs, yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know, you stretch out a PS1 onto a modern-day TV, it's not going to look that nice.
Also helps us when we're, like, making content for... It's all because, you know, we release stuff in 1080p, 50fps.
Mm-hmm.
If a capture that we're using is 1080, but just has been slightly compressed, then it looks worse than 1080.
Yeah.
It's always good for us to download a 4K... and then put it into a video that's being rendered at 1080, because then it's going to look as good as it can.
Yeah.
So always the higher you can go with these resolutions, the better it is for then like redistributing it on online media, because the compression just eats into stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does.
Even if it's meant to be HD.
And the final little tittle bittle for now, and I know It's tidbit. It's not titbit, as some people seem to think.
Well, I think it's in the dictionary as also as titbit.
Is it?
But
both?
you can definitely say tidbit.
Well,
I know a lot of people. I don't know if it's a regional thing, but I know a lot of people who say titbit, and I think it's said by enough people that it's in the dictionary.
You know, like a Fitbit tracks your exercise.
Yeah,
is that sort of a specialized device for tracking how many idiots you've come into contact with that day?
Yeah.
Your titbit. It's just a wrist-mounted computer that tracks your steps and how many idiots
you've
seen.
No, it's actually pronounced Fidbit.
Oh, Fidbit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fitty cent.
Yeah.
The last little tittle bittle. PlayStation 5 specs expand to ray tracing.
Mm.
What is ray tracing, Peter, I hear you ask?
Well, it's used in Adobe Premiere, in Adobe After Effects sometimes.
Apparently it's used in Adobe Premiere After Effects
sometimes.
And I'm quoting now. It's the kind of technology used in major Hollywood movies to generate big budget visual effects.
Mm.
While this is becoming more common in PCs now, you could be spending upwards of $1,000 to process it. In other words, this is unprecedented new territory for a consumer console. Wired explains why ray tracing... Hang on, sorry, I've read that weird. Wired explains why ray tracing is so important. Oh, God.
Are you okay?
It's so important. Ray tracing's immediate benefits are largely visual because it mimics the way light bounces from object to object in a scene.
Mm.
Reflective surfaces and refractions through glass or liquid can be rendered much more accurately, even in real time, leading to heightened realism. So basically, this is purely graphical.
Yeah.
And it'll make games look way, way nicer.
That's the only time I've really come into contact with ray tracing as a video editor, is when using lights in After Effects. You can like set up 3D rooms and put lights in them and make them bounce off, you know, 3D text and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can choose whether it's ray traced or not.
Ah.
And if it's ray traced, the processing power is like a lot, like the demands are a lot
higher.
Yeah,
I can imagine. Yeah.
So I mean, you know, I'm not well versed enough to really know like how much of a step up that's going to be, but it certainly sounds that it could be Real good stuff.
I've seen a side-by-side photo. Signed by sign? Oh, I can't
even... Signed by
Thank
side
goodness we're
photo.
Nearly at the close of this, eh?
Yeah, I know.
A side-by-side photo of Battlefield 5 with ray tracing enabled. And it's basically there's a fire next to a car. And without it on, it's just a fire. And then there's a car that's sort of slightly illuminated. But with ray tracing on, you can see the fire's reflection the way along the car and in the windows and everything.
And like bent round on...
Exactly, yeah.
In the dints and dents and things.
Dindents and dentons.
Yeah.
Dentists. So... It's something that would be incredibly labor-intensive to do manually.
Mm-hmm.
And ray tracing allows, but albeit at the cost of great processing power, developers and movie special effects experts and Peter Austins to put these effects into their projects.
Well, with great processing power comes great processing responsibility, Ben. And do you have any thoughts, wishes, expectations for... design of the console and controller, other than doing an amazing magic trick that you will only be able to see at home if you're watching the video version of this podcast.
I've just ray traced my... That's an appropriate use of the term, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what you've done there, ray tracing.
Maybe ray tracing was inside all of us all along.
Yeah.
I've just ray traced my script and it's just stood up vertically without me touching it at all.
Just to bring it back to Star Wars, do you think that's her surname?
Ray Trace.
Yeah, we've not had her surname revealed yet. I think she might be...
Ray Tracy.
That's what they're going to release. Yeah, Ray Tracy.
She's the... what's the term?
Aunt Sally. No, not Aunt Sally.
Aunt Sally?
What's
what?
It called? Estranged? A Susan Boyle. What's
no.
it called?
She's... What? She's the estranged daughter of Dick Tracy.
Yeah.
Legendary Thunderbirds dad.
No. He's not... What?
Isn't he?
Dick Tracy is not the Thunderbirds.
No, not death. Dick Tracy. Who am I talking
Dick
about?
Dick Tracy's that like brightly coloured.
Yeah, he's the guy.
1920s or something ish era detective from the comic books and the film Dick Tracy.
Yes, no, you're right.
You're Who's thinking the of Tracy Island.
Virgil Tracy.
Mr.
No, he's one of the five, the Fab Five, the Fab Thunderbirds.
He's just Mr. Tracy.
Yeah, Tricky Tracy.
I'm thinking of a Sue. A thingy
pseudonym.
Sue. No, a thingy Sue.
Peggy Sue?
No.
What are you talking about?
What is Ray? She's a thingy Sue.
A Peggy Sue?
No, it's not a Peggy Sue.
Is it not?
I don't think so. Mary? No, I don't know.
Mary Sue.
Tell me about your... tell me about what
Johnny Sue. You know what? It doesn't matter. What a tangent. How did we get here?
Tracy Island, help. Would you have any console design wishes?
Well, I like the controller. I like what they did with it this time. I like the share button. I like the headphone jack. I think as long as those things are on there, then I'll be happy.
It's Mary Sue.
It's Mary Sue. Not Peggy Sue. No. You sure?
Yeah.
Sure it's not Peggy Sue?
No, it's not.
I don't know what the price will be, but we've spoken a little bit about that. I think this all sounds very promising. It's exactly the kind of stuff that you would expect from the next gen. Interestingly, PlayStation have made their move first.
Yeah.
Microsoft have announced their digital console and it's had all of its thunder taken away.
Yes.
All of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there was a tactical move here, perhaps from some insider information, but it's Microsoft's move now. So we'll be able to see what, because presumably it's too late to add features and stuff in now. So if Microsoft have got something far less impressive,
they're going to have to get working.
Or far more impressive. It'll be very interesting to see how that plays out.
Are you suggesting that someone at Sony may have known that Xbox were about to announce their digital console on the Wednesday and they said, let's get in and announce ours on the Tuesday?
I wouldn't be surprised, although I don't imagine that they see their digital Xbox One really as competition at all.
For a PS5, no.
Not really.
No.
But, you know, you saw the way that they reacted a few E3s ago with the PS4's announcement when Microsoft's disastrous conference was either the day before or earlier that day, and they said, you know, they just poked fun the whole way through. It's like, can you share your games? Yes. And there's literally, here's a video we filmed yesterday of us passing a game to each other. You know, it happens. Not necessarily corporate espionage, because that's very serious.
Yeah.
But, you know, they know these things are happening.
Yeah, have you ever wondered what the bottom of an Avatar shoe looks like?
Well, bam.
There it is.
What about you?
Like, designs and stuff.
Yeah, what do you want?
I don't know. I don't have any strong... I always sort of just I see the latest design. I think that looks nice, but probably just because it's new and different. And then like it sits on your shelf for you know,
gathers dust
a couple. Well, not doesn't gather. Well, it does a bit.
It does. It gets
you have
dusty.
To keep it clean. But after like a month or so, and you've been looking at it, you're like, yeah, it's a console. Like I don't go home and look at my PS4 now and go, oh, what a good design.
What a sexy console.
Yeah,
I would bed that.
I would
if I could. But it's so sharp and pointy.
Last thing is launch date. I would make the prediction that we know it's not coming out in 2019, as that's been said.
Mm-hmm.
Best time for me, I think, if I was a money making guy, would be to release it November 2020, because then you get all the Christmas
mm-hmm.
boys and girls.
I would agree. I'd say Christmas 2020.
Yeah.
Do you want to choose a date now, like a specific date, and we'll see who's right next year?
Yeah.
If
okay.
it is next year.
How about November the 20th.
November the 20th. 20th. When did the PS4 launch? I'm trying to remember.
Oh, they might be doing... Maybe they'll do some kind of like anniversary date. Is the PS2 20 this year? Or... No, it's not 20. It's like... It was the anniversary of the... It was like an anniversary milestone of the PS2, I think, this year.
I will say it will release on November.
Mm.
The 21st.
Oh, you bad man.
So we'll just see.
Right. I was going to say then or after. It's not going to be before then. I wouldn't have thought.
But make a note of that in the comments. And I've done it again.
If I'm lucky, they might decide just to release it in the summer for some reason. And then I'll win.
And then you'll win. You've got, to be fair, you've got the entire of 2020.
Yeah,
that's true,
actually.
I've got 2 months and beyond.
Yeah.
So we'll see who's right. And the loser will... Shake the other person's
hand.
We'll
buy the other person's PS5 for them.
We are not on that kind of money.
I can't afford one, I don't think.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, there we go. That's that.
That's
Please
it.
Let us know what you make of all this in the comments below. As always, all of the stuff we've discussed this week, we'd like to hear your thoughts.
If you want to make it so that we can afford to buy a PS5 in a couple of years' time, one thing that you can do is head to our Patreon, which is patreon.com/teamtriplejump. No, it mostly, almost entirely goes into, well, at the moment, it entirely goes into the channel, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah,
cash.
I mean, we're employed.
We're not employed.
You know.
But yeah, everywhere else we're Team Triple Jump as well, on the YouTube channel and the twitch.tvs and Twitter and Facebook.
Yeah.
Those are our sock meds. The podcast is available to listen to at play.acast.com/s/triplejump.
Nice.
Not a great URL, but it's okay. It's
available on other stuff as well. In fact, we haven't even been saying it, but if you could leave us reviews, we'd really appreciate
it. Of course.
That would probably help a lot.
The website that we have is triplejump.
Triplej.mup.
Triplej.mup. And if you put a /shop on the end of that, we've got all kinds of merchandise, like the mug visible in the video version of this podcast right now, as well as the hoodie that I'm wearing, and other things too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we've got a Discord.
Sorts of stuff.
As well. It's one of our Patreon rewards. We have an exclusive room for patrons only.
Mm.
And other rewards include being able to ask questions on the podcast, like the James family, and also Worst Games Ever, nice and early for you.
Mm,
What's our schedule, Ben, including Worst Games Ever?
Well, before we get to that, I'd also like to plug our Instagrams, because we've started using our Instagrams a bit more recently. And I feel like we should probably promote those to people who are interested and have Instagram.
Mm.
You're at that Peter Austin.
I am.
As you are on Twitter.
Mm.
I'm at confused_dude on Twitter, but somebody took that on Instagram.
Oh.
So I don't know what that's about, but I am Ben Potter 20, all one word. No spaces.
Talking of names, you know that you can now change your name on PS4.
Yeah.
And you get one free change.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't know why I'm not that Peter Austin. Why did I not go for that? So I tried to change it to that. You're not allowed to have the word Peter anywhere in any name.
Really? Because it's a rude word.
It's French for fart. To fart.
Is it really?
I don't know if it's like slang French or if it's like common use French, but like.
That is absurd.
So. You have to be, because I was like, I was going
it's also
I was
slang
to work
for
it
Willy
out.
As well.
Well, I don't know. But Pete, like, was taken. It was like, oh, people have used the word Pete. I was like, okay, so you can have Pete in there. But all the Peters, it was saying, this is not available. This is not allowed.
That's ridiculous.
So there you go.
I did see that someone that I follow on Twitter called Ant Dickens was not allowed to have his name because it had Dick in it,
poor
which
Anthony.
Is just poor Ant's got Dick in it.
Yeah.
Got Dick in him. So that's like, obviously ridiculous anyway.
Ridiculous.
But the fact that you can't have a French word for fart.
Apparently.
If that's truly what that is, then that is ridiculous.
Because I ran it through Google Translate to see what it... Because it's like different languages, that's the thing.
Mm.
And
but Peter's such a... Like, that's a name in so many languages.
I know. The only other language I could find where it means something else is in Afrikaans, it means godfather, which is not an offensive term. But in France, apparently it's fart. So, my name is fart.
Ah, ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
Anyway. Our schedule. We have lists every Tuesday and Thursday. Mm. Streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday. Been falling behind on that recently just because we've been busy. You've been away. And we'll hopefully be returning to normality very soon. Worst games ever is Fortnightly. There's one this week, right?
Yeah.
If you're a patron, you would have seen that there was a post that went out, yes.
On Good Friday.
Today, on the best Friday.
The best Friday of
it
all.
Made the Friday even better. What, it's Easter Sunday, more like Eager Sunday, eager to watch that worst games ever.
Yeah.
We didn't do an Easter-themed episode because we didn't plan that far ahead, but it will be available for everybody on Sunday.
Essentially, the patrons were present at the crucifixion of Christ, and the non-patrons were only there at the resurrection.
Just to gawp at the what happened afterwards. Yeah. You know, who the true believers
Slow.
Are.
And there's a podcast every Saturday.
There's a podcast every Saturday. Again, we're looking at introducing new things very soon, so please bear with us. We know that some of you have just been wonderful and patient and nice, and some of you have just been real arses and very demanding. But please do understand that there are two of us doing everything. And we're very grateful that you've stuck with us through this early going. Mm. We've got people starting full-time soon. We've got people starting freelance soon. So the load will be lifted from our shoulders ever so slightly, which means we're able to start diversifying what we're doing and reintroduce some things that you enjoyed in the past and maybe some new stuff.
We'll have time for our Discord chat as well, which is, again, that's fallen behind. And we're very grateful for those of you who stuck with us, supporting us financially while not receiving that reward.
Yeah. We're going to do two this month, right?
We are doing two this month.
So we may look at doing that. I think we should do it next week.
Yeah.
So we'll do one of them next week, and we'll look to do another one at the end of April. Again, we'll announce all that stuff in the patreon.com/teamtriplejump. So go there if you're looking for information, and we'll try and do it at different times as well to let as many people as possible attend. That's all, Peter.
That's all.
I think we're done now.
Yeah,
it's time to go. It's not time to go home. Got so much to do. There's only two of us, Peter. There's so much to do. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you for watching as well. Let us know what you thought of today's topics in the comments below. And why not post this video in the podcast subreddit?
Yeah. Yeah, you could.
Why not?
Yeah. I think you should post it in the Mark Cerny subreddit.
You sound funny, Mark Cerny. Peter, thank you for coming along today.
Thank you for having me along today.
And we'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.